And so there you have it. The story, as it's come down to us, the story Luke heard and set to writing as God's witness for the ages of ages, a horrifying tale of betrayal, treachery, denial, humiliation, agonizing pain, and death. You've witnessed the trial, condemnation, and execution of God, the death of God, God as dead as any man or other animal, and creation drifts. From the Chronicles of Narnia, C.S. Lewis' story, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, is the only account I have read and heard and watched that does even greater justice than Luke, capturing the horror of the day God willingly let himself be tormented to death for our sake. Lewis' book and the film series that BBC created for television is a story that leaves one speechless, gasping for breath and for words that fail. That the Lord of creation, that God's loving presence on earth, that we have savagely murdered the one who was sent and came to show us what God is like, to encourage us to become what Jesus is, because Jesus is as God is. And now, justice in the story, you see, set at the dawn of time, age-old justice requires, demands the lifeblood of every sinner. Forfeit to the prince of darkness, and no way out of the law so ancient that it came into force with the Logos, let there be. Law, chillingly, uncompromisingly just, seemingly merciless, but just, where you yourself find your very own being in the word sinner. But the law goes on, you see, that if an innocent one steps forward voluntarily to be the victim instead, to suffer, shed blood, and die for the condemned sinner, to die in the sinner's place, then the sinner could be justified and set free. And so here we are. Here you are, watching the law play out its drama as the one and only human without sin goes willingly to the cross for you. For you. Sinner. For you. Years ago, when I was chaplain and middle school religion and ethics teacher at Holy Nativity Episcopal School, we took a full school year to read all the Narnia books and watch in class all the Narnia movies that had been made up to that point. And then December 2005, the week before Christmas vacation, our entire middle school, 75 students, went to the local screening of a new Lion, Witch, and Wardrobe film as their final exam, with classroom discussions that followed. C.S. Lewis called the Narnia stories pre-evangelical, meaning that at some future time, someone, a child, because you see the stories were at first for children, light might come on in an epiphany of realization that they already knew Jesus and the story of sacrifice, oblation, and satisfaction for the sins of the world, the plan of salvation being played out as Aslan, the Christ figure, gave his life to pay the price and save the treacherous, but learned his lesson and remorsefully terrified Edmund from murderous death by the ruler of darkness. John's Gospel says of Jesus that the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it or even comprehend it. Darkness cannot stand against the light of Christ, nor can the prince of darkness prevail against the truth of Jesus, who loves you, who loves you. The dreadful story we heard just now is of Jesus at Calvary going to the cross and bloody death for you, to cover your sins because God loves you. But do not leave here today in guilt and shame and tears that you are culpable as a sinner, because God's plan of salvation is not about death, it's about life. And yes, the worst has happened to God, but for you, the best has happened because God loves you. Hallelujah. And the story is not over. because regardless of the cross, the cost to him, God loves you. And because God loves you, Easter is coming. In spite of bleak and somber Lent and the horror of Christ on Calvary, the gospel is good news. Our God lives and loves, hallelujah, loves us, loves me, loves you, hallelujah. Even on Palm Sunday, hallelujah. Let us bless the Lord, hallelujah. Thanks be to God, hallelujah, hallelujah. Can you say it? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.